We have the story of Ruth. Get another Bible. Let me summarize the story of Ruth for you. We all like a story that may have a tragic beginning, but at least it has a happy ending. And that's what's so amazing about this story. There once lived a man in Bethlehem by the name of Elimelech. That's a significant name. Elimelech means God is King. What a great Jewish name. What a great name that expresses faith in God. So this man, Elimelech, whose name means God is King, had a wife by the name of Naomi. They had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Well, there was a famine in the land. Food was in short supply. So they went down to the country of Moab, which was east of the Dead Sea. So they stayed there in Moab. Well, at least they had food to eat there. By and by, Naomi's husband, Elimelech, died. Now she's a widow. Well, her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they each married women from Moab. Well, by and by, Naomi's two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they died too. Now we have three women that are all widows. Life is hard. Life is difficult. Life is a struggle. Their men are gone. The breadwinners in the family are gone. And life has turned bitter. Well, Naomi hears word that there's now food back in Bethlehem. God has blessed his covenant people. And the famine is over. So Naomi decides to go back to Bethlehem. Well, she takes her two daughters-in-laws with her. Ruth and Orpah. I believe that's her name. Let me just check. Orpah. So Ruth and Orpah go with Naomi back to Bethlehem. So on the way, Naomi stops and she says to her daughters-in-laws, No. You go back. You go back to Moab. You go back to your mother's house. And you live there. And the daughters-in-law say, No, we want to go with you. And Naomi says to them, what can I offer you? I'm a widow. Even if I could marry again and bear sons and have sons, would you wait until they're all grown up to marry them? Could I provide husbands for you again? No. You're going to want to remarry soon. And so out of a sense of helplessness, perhaps even hopelessness, Naomi advises her two daughters-in-laws, oh, go back to Moab, stay there, go back to your mother's house, things will be better there. Well, one of them, Orpah, does. She does decide to go back to Moab. But Ruth says, No, Naomi, I will stay with you. I will go with you. Where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. I will even die where you die. I will be buried where you are buried. You begin to see some faithfulness here? You begin to see some loyalty here? By the way, Naomi was very kind to her two daughters-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth. And Ruth is being very kind and loyal and devoted to Naomi. And so now, Ruth goes back with Naomi. Well, they arrive in Bethlehem and all the townsfolks come out and give Naomi a great welcome. Oh, glad to see you, Naomi. How are things? And oh, it's just wonderful. Glad you're back. And Naomi says, look at folks, don't call me Naomi, whose name means pleasantness. Call me Mara. That's the word that means bitter. Call me Mara. Because my lot in life right now is bitter. It's a struggle. So she's back in Bethlehem. But there's a little bit of hope here now. Because you know when they arrive back in Bethlehem, you know what time of year it is when they arrive back in Bethlehem? Beginning of the barley harvest. What does that mean? It means there's food. At least means there's sustenance. It means there's hope. Imagine that. Just that little statement, those words at the end of chapter 1, that it's the beginning of the barley harvest, they breathe so much hope into a story that's so filled with despair and tragedy and loss. Naomi and her husband Elimelech and their two sons, they left Bethlehem because there was a shortage, there was a lack of food. They get down into Moab, and now all the men are taken away. There's three women that are left widows. Naomi comes back as a widow, bemoaning her bitter circumstances. She says to the townsfolk in Bethlehem, "Lord, I went out full. I went out full with a husband and two sons, and I've come back empty." Do you ever feel empty? Ever feel you've suffered loss, you've been denied or deprived things that you've been hoping for and waiting for all your life? Well, let's think about Ruth. Well, we move on in the story. So, they're back in Bethlehem. Ruth's there. Ruth's very faithful and devoted. So Ruth's a young woman, hard worker, industrious. So she says to Naomi, "Let me go out and try to gather some grain from the fields in Bethlehem." And of course, it was the Jewish custom. In fact, it was the Jewish law that if you owned a field and you sent your reapers and your harvesters into the field to reap the harvest, you were required to leave some grain. So that's so the poor people could come in after the harvest and gather up the leftovers. And so Ruth's out there. And so she happens to go into a field. And I believe this is by divine providence, not by accident. She happens to go into a field that happens to be owned by Boaz. Well, who's Boaz? Boaz happens to be a relative of her dead father-in-law, Elimelech. See, the story's getting interesting now because God is working, God is controlling, God is guiding and directing through His sovereign power, putting Naomi and Ruth exactly where He wants them, and leading and directing Ruth to exactly where God wants Ruth to be to meet the man that she must meet. And so she's working in this field that belonged to Boaz. Of course, now at the time, Ruth doesn't know that this field belongs to Boaz, who happens to be a relative of her dead father-in-law, Elimelech. So she's busy gathering grain. She takes a break and goes to get some rest under a shelter. And Boaz arrives, who's the owner of the field. So he's talking to his workers and says, "Well, who's that woman over there? What's she doing here?" So he says, "Well, she's the woman from Moab, who came back with Naomi, who had been married to one of Naomi's sons, Amalon by name." So Boaz goes over to Ruth and asks Ruth about herself. And Boaz says to her, "Now look, I want you to stay right in my field. Don't go to anybody else's field. You stay right here, stay right behind my women as they gather, and you can gather whatever they don't gather, you stay right here. And I'll instruct my young men not to bother you, not to molest you. You'll be safe here." And so Ruth says to Boaz, "Well, how come you're being so kind to me?" You know, when someone's too nice to you, you start to get a little suspicious. You know, what do they want, huh? Right? You know what I'm saying? So Ruth says, "You know, Boaz, what are you being so nice to me for? What are you being so kind to me for?" Boaz says, "Look, we've heard about all the kindness that you have extended to Naomi." And Boaz says to Ruth, "May the Lord reward you. May the Lord give you a full reward for all the kindness that you have shown to Naomi. And may the Lord reward you because you have come and you have sought refuge under the wings of the Lord God of Israel." Boy, I think that made a big impression on Boaz. Here is this woman from Moab, a foreigner, an outsider, if you will, who has come to the promised land because she believes in the Lord God of Israel, and she has come to find refuge. She has come to find protection and shelter and safety. She's come to find a new life, to have a new start in life with her mother-in-law Naomi in the town of Bethlehem. Quite a blessing. As the story ends, Ruth will have a very, very full reward. We'll get there eventually. But let's follow the story. I'm trying to summarize it for you before we start looking at it in the biblical text. But that's not enough. Boaz invites Ruth to come and have lunch with all of his workers, to sit down and have a meal. And then after Ruth goes back to start gathering more grain in the field, Boaz calls his young men over and says, "Look, Deliberately go shake some of the grain off the stalks and let it fall on the ground just so Ruth will have more grain to gather. And don't stop her from gathering whatever she wants to gather. Boaz is going out of his way to be extraordinarily nice and kind to this woman from Moab. Let's face it, she was a foreigner. She was an immigrant. Let me ask you, if you were in Boaz's shoes, how would you have treated Ruth? How would you have treated her? Would you have said, well, she's just a foreigner. She's an outsider. Oh, she's one of those immigrants. Or would you have said, here's a woman who needs compassion. Here's a woman who needs help. Here's a woman who's come to trust in the true and the living God. And what could make me happier than to see a foreigner come to trust in my God and to believe in Him? Oh, may God pour out His blessings upon her. Well, she goes home with quite a bit of grain that day, and Naomi couldn't believe it. And so Naomi questions Ruth, well, where were you today? Whose field did you get to gather grain in? And so Ruth says, well, I gathered grain in the field of this fellow by the name of Boaz. And Naomi says, Boaz, do you know who Boaz is? Boaz is a relative of your father-in-law Elimelech. Oh boy, see, God's starting to work things out here. God is making this situation that these women, Naomi and Ruth, are in much more hopeful and much more optimistic. So we learn that Ruth continues to gather grain all throughout the barley harvest as well as all throughout the wheat harvest. And when the harvest is all done, Naomi says to Ruth, look at Ruth, I'm concerned about your future. I'm concerned about your security. I'm old. I don't care about remarrying. But you need to have a future. So Naomi says to Ruth, look, I want you to get yourself ready. And I want you to ask Boaz to be the family redeemer for you, to be the kinsman redeemer for you. Now, there was a law in Israel that if a woman's husband died and she was left a widow, if there was a family member who could buy her property and marry her and raise up a descendant for her, that man should do that for her. It's called redeeming property that otherwise might be sold and be dispersed from the family. It's retrieving land, and it's also retrieving a descendant who would inherit that land, who would have the title deed to that property and would continue to own the land. It's a way of keeping the land in the family. So Naomi says to Ruth, this is what I want you to do. I want you to wash yourself, make yourself smell good, put on some perfume, change your clothes. Boaz is down at the threshing floor working on the grain, trying to separate the grain from the stalks. And you wait till he's had supper. Wait until he's full and satisfied. And when he goes to sleep, you just get down there and quietly lay down at his feet. And then when he awakes, you ask him to perform the duty of a kinsman redeemer or a family redeemer, to buy all the property that was owned by Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion, to buy all that property and to marry you. So Ruth, without hesitation, does this. She goes down at night. She finds Boaz sleeping at the bottom of a big grain of pile. She uncovers the very corner of the blanket near his feet. And then when Boaz suddenly awakens during the night, he's all startled. There's a young woman sleeping at his feet. Who are you? What are you doing here? And so Ruth identifies herself, and then she asks Boaz, will you perform the duty of a kinsman redeemer? And she asks it this way. She says, please, uncover the corner of your blanket and cover me with it. That was a way of saying, help me to find shelter and protection and security with you. And Boaz is elated. He couldn't be happier. You remember all the kindness that Boaz showed Ruth? Now that kindness is coming back to Boaz. Boaz says to Ruth, Ruth, I'm amazed. You're not out there chasing the young men. You were willing to come and ask me. And Boaz says, yes, I will perform the duty of a kinsman redeemer. But there's a relative who's closer. There's one relative that's closer, and he really should have the opportunity to perform the service of a family redeemer for you, if he is so willing. So Boaz says, I'll take care of it immediately. So Ruth goes home, and Ruth tells everything that happened to Naomi, who, of course, couldn't wait to hear all the details. You know how women are. They want to hear all the juicy details of the story. And so she goes home and reports all that Boaz had said that he would do for Ruth. And also Boaz sends Ruth home with her shawl filled with as much grain as it would hold. Again, we see the generosity and the giving heart of Boaz. So the very next morning, Boaz waits by the city gate. And he stops this other relative who is coming in by the city gate. And he says, friend, let's have a little talk. And Boaz calls some of the other city leaders around, the city elders, and basically they're convening court. That's a court session held by the city gate among the elders of the city. And so Boaz asks this other relative, would you like to buy all the land owned by Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon? And he says, sure, I'll do that. But there's one catch, Boaz says. You'll have to marry the young Moabite woman, Ruth. And he thinks again and says, no, I'd rather not do that, because that property then would not be inherited by my sons. It's only going to be inherited by the child born to Ruth. And so he declines and says to Boaz, Boaz, if you would like to perform the duty of a kinsman redeemer, go right ahead. And so they have a little legal transaction there. This other relative takes off his sandal from his foot, hands it to Boaz, that's symbolic of him giving up his right to being the kinsman redeemer and handing the right and the prerogative of the kinsman redeemer to Boaz. And so the story ends with Boaz announcing to the city elders and all the witnesses there that he will buy all the property owned by Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion, and that he will marry Ruth, and Ruth will be his wife. And so a son is born. That son is named Obed. And so now Naomi is happy. Although she does not remarry, but she has the satisfaction that her daughter-in-law is married and she has found love, she has found security, she has found rest in Boaz's house. She'll be well provided for, and she also is able to have a son named Obed. The interesting thing is Obed is the father of Jesse. And you know who Jesse is the father of? King David! You see how God works in wonderful ways? King David's grandmother was Ruth. So here is a story that has a tragic beginning. Lots of loss and suffering and bitterness. But God is present and God is powerful. God brings about a happy ending. Now, yes, we would all rationalize as Christians, well, wouldn't it have been better if Elimelech never died, if Mahlon and Chilion never died, and these women were never left widows? Wouldn't that be better? Yes, of course, that would be better. But things happen in life. We're not always sure why they happen. Life is filled with tragedies and difficulties. Naomi never rejected God. You know, she never got angry at God. She never abandoned her faith. She did confess, my life has been made bitter. My husband has been taken away. My two daughters-in-laws, they've lost their husbands. Well, life is bitter, but she never lost her faith in God. You know what happens to a lot of people today? Some tragedy happens and they turn against God. They walk out in God. They say, I'm never going to worship God again. I'm never going to go to church again, because they're blaming God for some difficulty that has transpired in their life. Well, let's look at this a little bit. We won't have time to look at the whole entire story from the biblical text, but let's just look at a little bit from chapters 1 and 2. And I want you to see that so much of this story turns on this notion of kindness. The story is just brimming with kindness. Naomi being kind to Ruth. Ruth being kind to Naomi. Boaz being kind to Ruth. And Ruth, in turn, showing kindness to Boaz. Let's just look at it from the biblical text. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, of Judah, he went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, meaning God is king. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, of Judah. And they went to the country of Moab, and they remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. Now the two wives of the women of Moab, the name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so the women survived her two sons and her husband. The situation is not good. Notice Ruth's determination to stay with Naomi. Notice verse 15. And she said, look, your sister, this is what Naomi says to Ruth, look, your sister-in-law, that's Orpah, has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. I was just go back home. Stay with your mother and your father. But Ruth said, this is what Ruth said to Naomi, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and much more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Wow. Talk about loyalty. Talk about devotion. You know, one of the problems in our society is people don't know how to be faithful. Marriages are falling apart because spouses don't know how to be faithful. They don't know how to be loyal to each other till death parts them. And here we see a profound sense of loyalty and devotion on the part of Ruth to Naomi. Now, let's face it, we all know that misery loves company. So here's two women that are widows. Maybe they want to stick together because they're both miserable being widows. I don't know. Maybe Ruth realizes she's just better off. She's just better off staying with Naomi. Maybe Naomi has such great faith in God, such an optimism about the future. Maybe Naomi just has such a presence about her because of her faith, that Ruth feels drawn to Naomi and just can't leave her because of her testimony. You know, that's the way we should be. That our faith in the Lord and our Christian demeanor, our Christian character should be such that draws people to us rather than sends them away. So they arrive back in Bethlehem. Verse 20. The people they're happy to see Naomi. But this is what Naomi says. So she says to them, do not call me Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Lord Almighty, God Almighty, has dealt very bitterly with me. She says in verse 21, I went out full, but the Lord has brought me home again empty. So why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? Yeah, she's not happy about her circumstances, but as we read the story, it seems like she's not lost faith in the Lord. Then the very last words of chapter 1, as they have come back to Bethlehem, it's the beginning of the barley harvest. So that's where we read a ray of hope in the story. It's the beginning of the barley harvest. Because if you can go out, you may have suffered a lot of loss, but if you can at least go out and gather grain and sit down and eat a meal, you have hope. And so we get into chapter 2, and we'll probably just have to wrap it up with chapter 2 this morning. But in chapter 2, Ruth meets Boaz. Verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, Ruth the foreigner, Ruth the immigrant, said to Naomi, well, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I have found favor. And Naomi said to Ruth, go, my daughter. And so she goes out. She happens to come to the field of Boaz. And now notice verse 4. So behold, Boaz, the boss, shows up at his field from Bethlehem. And Boaz says to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And all the reapers answer and say to Boaz, the Lord bless you. Wouldn't that be great to show up at work every morning? And the boss says to you, the Lord be with you. And all the employees say to the boss, God bless you. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be a great way to start work? Every way honoring and acknowledging the name of Almighty God. It doesn't typically work that way in the secular workplace, does it? But anyway, you can't help but notice how many times the name of the Lord is mentioned in this story. People love the Lord. They view their lives as being lived out and ordered before the Lord. So verse 5, Boaz said to one of his servants who was in charge of the reapers, well, who's this young woman? Who's this young woman here? And so verse 6, so the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she has rested a little while in the house or under some shelter that was nearby. So verse 8, so Boaz goes over and Boaz says to Ruth, You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field or go here, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. And let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. In other words, stay right behind my young women as they gather the grain. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you or molest you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. Then, Ruth, she fell on her face and bowed down to the ground and said to Boaz, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? In other words, why are you being so kind to me? Why are you being so nice to me? I'm just a woman from Moab. I'm an immigrant. I'm a foreigner. And Boaz answered, notice this now, Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me. You see, people know more than you think. You know, word gets around town fast. So Boaz says in verse 11, it's been reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law, that would be Naomi, since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother, and you have left the land of your birth, and you have come to a people whom you do not know before, or did not know before. And he says in verse 12, the Lord repay you for your work and give you a full reward. And may a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Those words are beautiful. She has found refuge under the Lord God of Israel. And that's where we find refuge as well. And so then she says in verse 13, then she says, Ruth says to Boaz, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. And then we read on, and Boaz invites her to mealtime. And she comes and she's able to have food to eat with all the other workers. And then in verse 15 we read, and when she rose up to glean, in other words, she went back to the fields to glean more grain, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her, do not reprimand her, just let her gather grain wherever she wants. Verse 16, and let some grain from the bundles fall purposely just for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her, do not reprimand her. And so in verse 17, she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned. It was about an ephah of barley. It was a considerable amount of barley that she had gleaned in the fields that day. So she gets back home. Verse 19, and her mother-in-law said to her, where have you been gleaning today? Question. No doubt a curious question. And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. See, everybody in this story seems to be blessing everybody. Isn't that great? So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, the man is a relative of ours, one of our near kinsmen. So her mind is thinking about the whole idea that Ruth could be redeemed by a family relative. All the land owned by Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon could be bought up. Ruth could have a husband, and she could have a family. Again, the whole notion of kindness just permeates the entire story. Let's pause right here. We'll continue next Sunday as we continue the story of Ruth and review a little bit. But I want us to focus on the fact this morning about kindness. It pays to be kind. God wants us to be kind to other people. And what's interesting, even though Naomi lost her husband, she was kind to Ruth and to Orpah, her daughters-in-law. Even though Ruth had lost her husband, Mahlon, she was still kind and very loyal and faithful to Ruth. In other words, we don't use our bitter circumstances in life. We don't use the tragedies that have happened to us to stop being kind. When we're kind, the Lord will reward us. And of course, the overarching lesson of the story is God is sovereign, God is in control, God is guiding us and working out the details of our lives step by step, day by day. Let us not lose hope, and let us not lose faith. If you have time this week, read over the story of Ruth, and we'll continue this beautiful story next Lord's Day. Let's pray. Lord God, we bow before you. And we confess that oftentimes things happen in life and we don't know why. Sometimes we're tempted to blame you for everything. But help us not to do that. Help us to take refuge in you. Help us to find our shelter, our sense of protection, our sense of security for today and tomorrow in you, in what you allow, what you permit, what you will, and what you give to us. And Lord, help us to learn that all-important lesson about kindness. Lord, you want us to be kind to other people. You don't want us to make up excuses for not being kind. Help us to emulate the kindness of Boaz. Lord, he was so generous, so giving, so willing to help this foreigner, this immigrant from Moab. Help us to be willing to do the same to other people we meet as well. And Lord, as we've read about that faithfulness, that sense of loyalty, that sense of devotion on the part of Ruth to Naomi, help us to have that sense of faithfulness and loyalty in our relationships in life as well. And Lord, help us to be concerned about the welfare of others, even as Naomi was concerned about what would happen to her young daughter-in-law and wanting to find rest and security for her. Help us to be concerned about the welfare of other people, Lord. And above all, Lord, help us to delight ourselves in you. We ask this for Jesus' sake, to whom be praise and worship throughout all eternity, the name by which we have been saved and sanctified forever. Amen. Well, the man's name was Elimelech, God is King. Let's sing hymn number 190. Rejoice, the Lord is King. That's real good news this morning. God is still King. He always will be King. Jesus is King. He's coming back to rule and to reign in this world as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hymn number 190.